Saturday, November 24th, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions presents Chuck, the Iceman Liddell, as he returns to the cage to take on the Huntington Beach bad boy Tito Ortiz in the third and final chapter of their historic rivalry at the Fabulous Forum, plus a fully stacked undercard of competitive MMA talent. Do not miss another chapter of this historic rivalry. Saturday, November 24th at the Forum. Tickets start at $30 and they're available at Ticketmaster.com. or by calling 800-745-3000. 800-745-3000.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to another hour of the program coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thank you for sharing part of the day before Thanksgiving with us. Wherever you're listening, I'm sure the roads are already filled with mayhem. So, if you're looking for entertainment, hot takes, hopefully a diversion to keep your mind occupied while you try to navigate your way wherever you're going, we are here. It's really a public service we're doing, almost a charity. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. Spent the majority of the first hour talking NFL. That'll be our focus here in the second hour of the program. It all kicks off tomorrow. Traditional game in Detroit. Bears and Lions on CBS. Still unclear if Mitchell Trubisky is going to be able to play in a short week. Remember, the Bears played Sunday Night Football. Looking very good against Minnesota. Trubisky tweaked his shoulder. Could be Chase Daniel tomorrow on CBS. In 20 minutes, we're talking college football with Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com. I have to say this one slowly. Rivalry week in college football. Egg Bowl tomorrow. Apple Cup Friday. Ohio State, Michigan Saturday, along with the Iron Bowl between Bama and Auburn on CBS. We'll preview the games. Talk about the coaching moves that are coming. It feels like a done deal that Clay Helton will be on the sideline for the final time when Notre Dame beats USC on Saturday. In 35 minutes, it's homecoming for the King. LeBron heading back to Cleveland tonight. He should get a standing O. I'm sure there'll be a couple people trying to be knuckleheads. And we'll spin it forward. What are reasonable expectations for the Lakers year one in Southern California with LeBron now as the head of a dysfunctional family? And an interesting reality show, but they played decently to start the year. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Twitter, BW Weber. Weber with two B's. A couple tweets. Here is Dave in KC via Rome. Having Brian Weber guest host the Jim Rome Show is like having your wife wake up on Christmas, take you outside, open your eyes to a brand new wrapped Kia. All right. At least not a Yugo, because all my references are from 1984. Here is Pete in Kalamazoo's tweet. It's succinct. Double it.
Double it.
Regards, OJ.
Oh.
Yeah, double homicide. Always.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
What a wonderful topic on the day before Thanksgiving. Do I dare take a phone call? I'm going to tell you why the Drew Brees has already wrapped up the MVP, but that can wait for 90 seconds. I didn't take a call in the first hour. Let's rectify that. 1-800-636-8686. Here is a regular, Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, you're in the jungle. What's going on? Hello, Matt.
Hey, B-Web, how the hell are you? Hey, you are doing all us schlubs who have to work, the working man, a huge favor. Spelling Jim Rome. So kudos to you, my man. I just wanted to go over a few things being on the eve of Thanksgiving. Some things we're thankful for. Thankful for one irate Craig and the flowing of the bum smack he has provided us in the last few months. I'm thankful for Alvy getting back without any more kids from his Euro vacation. I'm thankful for one Adam Hawk and his porn stash that he wears like Johnny Wad himself and fillet one Jim Rome. But the one thing I'm not thankful for, B-Web, this cash grab that the Cat and Hefty Fefty Micklestad are trying at. I mean, this manufactured attempt at a great golf match play is just a bunch of garbage. You know what I mean? So for any of you guys that are actually paying a bunch of millionaires more to spend, what a bunch of losers you guys are. That's about it. I'm about out of here. Keep up the good work, Webb. Stay strong on the CBS. Give my best to Taz and the Moose. Outro.
I will when I see him in the commissary. Thank you, Matt. Although I like that take better when I did it 20 minutes ago, but we're on the same page. It is a colossal waste of time coming up on Friday. I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but if you're looking for a better return on your investment, throw $20 out the window. See if it blows back to you. At least you'll save the 20 bucks then. What you're going to waste when Tiger and Phil get together Friday in Las Vegas. And if we're going to take phone calls with the keyword if, don't have to go with the PG-13 language. I don't even have kids, but kids are in the car today. People are going from point A to point B. Excellent screening. From a man who once said the word fornicate on the air when we worked together elsewhere, we're playing the hits here on CBS Sports Radio. I got an actual response from Alvin. My goodness, the best in the business wants to hear more of the story. Got to hang around for my podcast after the show, Alvin. This one is not safe for general consumption. Okay, let's get back to the NFL because the games are good tomorrow. And in 40 minutes, we're going to go through the pain that continues to be connected with the Detroit Lions. But Thanksgiving is all about traditions. And for better or for worse, for generations of football fans, the day has started with a matchup in Detroit. And tomorrow is an intriguing game on a lot of levels on CBS, mostly because we don't know if Mitchell Trubisky is going to play. Could be Chase Daniel, and it could be an opportunity for the Lions to go to 5-6 and keep their faint playoff hopes alive. But if we're thinking about the progression of the football tomorrow, it's going to be all offense all the time in the nightcap. Atlanta, New Orleans, spicy regional rivalry, does not get enough national attention. Typically, it's the road team that wins in that game, but the Saints won't be stopped tomorrow, because they have been sensational in just about every phase of the game. Plus, Atlanta is banged up, and in professional sports, injuries can't be an excuse, but they're part of the explanation. No Devontae Freeman. Defense, a shell of itself. Although, fantasy alert, I guess it's not illegal for Julio Jones to actually score a touchdown or two as the season has rolled along. So, the Saints shouldn't be surprising you at all. Because if you go back to last year, I realize we want to call that amazing play that wrapped up the postseason game and the divisional round of the playoffs in Minnesota, the miracle in Minneapolis. That was actually the worst defensive play in the history of postseason football. I still don't know what Marcus Williams was thinking. Saints should have won that game. Moved on to the NFC title game. I think they would have beaten Philadelphia. So it's not like this team has snuck up on anybody. And at this point, the question is, are they at all flawed in any way? Because while we're still enjoying the afterglow of that amazing Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Rams, the Saints have been doing this for years. And they're doing it again this year because they have the best offense in all of football. I'm not talking stats. I'm saying the most complete offense in the game. The numbers have been staggering if you want to go through the digits. They hung half a hundred on Cincinnati outdoors a couple weeks ago. Approached it on Sunday with a 48-7 beatdown over Philadelphia. But this isn't fantasy football. Not worried about your PPR league. We have actual players starring for the Saints like Michael Thomas. Like the fact they can run it effectively with that 1-2 punch of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. And they have the quarterback in Drew Brees, who is already the MVP. Case closed. I don't care what the Saints do the rest of the way. Drew Brees is the most valuable player in the NFL. Now, we're not getting into the trite talk show 101 topic. Is MVP truly about value? Is it player of the year? We know what the MVP award is. It's the best player on the best team. and that's the Saints. And think about what this would mean to Drew Brees on his way to the Hall of Fame. Amazingly, he has never won the MVP award. And it's overdue. Because someday there's going to be a movie about his path to the NFL. He's been doubted every step of the way. Huge numbers growing up in Texas. Went to the Big Ten, didn't play for Ohio State, didn't play for Michigan, had to go to Purdue. Gets hurt in his final game in San Diego, a game in which he shouldn't have even been on the field, goes down with a shoulder injury, goes to Miami. Dolphins want to sign him. Doctors will not sign off on the physical. Has to take a small money, show me deal in New Orleans, and you know the rest of the story. So Brees, if you care about the numbers, is playing the most efficient football of his career. He's only thrown one pick. And the other way we can handle this is process of elimination. If you want to give it to Patrick Mahomes, well, you can't yada, yada, yada away the fact that he had five turnovers on Monday night. If you want to go with Todd Gurley, he had his least productive game of the season on Monday night, in part because he was used as a decoy. Plus, it's going to be increasingly hard for any running back to win an MVP award because this league is all throwing all the time, unless it's something like LT's astonishing numbers years ago or when Adrian Peterson had better than 2,000 rushing yards coming back from the torn ACL. You had to give him the award. So Brees is the MVP. Should we crown the Saints right now? Who knows what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, but I think the more interesting exercise would be, what's the most intriguing Super Bowl matchup? Because first, if you disagree with the Saints playing their way into the Roman numeral game in Atlanta, you got to tell me at 1-800-636-8686 or on Twitter, BWWeber, Weber with two Bs, who's going to stop them in the NFC? Sure, I have a memory that still functions. I recall what happened when the Saints and Rams got together, and I know that the Rams were missing Aqib Talib in the secondary. Okay. But even with the veteran back there, are they really going to slow down Drew Brees? And with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, you want to go with Jared Goff on the road or Drew Brees at home? When we get to the Super Bowl, what's the best matchup? I know so many of you will instantly say Patriots and Saints, and sure, we'd be smiling all across CBS's platforms of content. Tom Brady against Drew Brees, but I'm not convinced the Patriots are going to get there because I don't think they're going to have the bye this year. And history tells us when the Patriots don't have a bye, they don't go to the Super Bowl because they've been atrocious on the road. How about other matchups that could stand out to folks if you want to go through your power rankings? Kansas City and New Orleans would be a video game, but you wonder, did Mahomes foreshadow what he's going to do in the postseason based on having the wobbly moments on Monday night? I think the clear choice involves some primary colors. It should be the black and yellow of Pittsburgh against the black and gold of the Saints because Pittsburgh's defense has come alive. Yes, I know they had a lousy performance on the road in Jacksonville, but they came back from the 16-0 deficit. Ben Roethlisberger is playing steady football. How about Antonio Brown versus Michael Thomas on opposite sides of the field? And James Conner has put up better numbers than Le'Veon Bell. So if you care about my Super Bowl matchup on the day before Thanksgiving, let's go with Pittsburgh and New Orleans. If I'm wrong, hit me up on Twitter, BWWeber, Weber with two Bs. All right, I got to get out because we have a guest coming up. But more of your phone calls on the way as well. 1-800-636-8686. I love college football as much as I love the pros. So coming up, we'll get you ready for Rivalry Weekend across the country. Plus, is the SEC going to get a pair of teams into the playoff for the second consecutive year? We'll check in with Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com. I'm Brian Weber. It's great to have you with us on Thanksgiving Eve in the Jungle. In for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. More of your phone calls coming up at 1-800-636-8686. Emails, rome@haveatake.com. Twitter is BWWeber. Weber with two Bs in less than 20 minutes. We'll spotlight the return of the king to Cleveland tonight talking NBA. But first, let's focus on college football because this week brings the traditional rivalry games across the country. Let's say hello to our good friend Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com. Dennis, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you?
Brian, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Let's start with USC taking on Notre Dame, and let me be transparent. I went to grad school at USC, so I'm not neutral here. But when it comes to the Trojans, losing to a UCLA team that had only won two games and now needing to upset Notre Dame just to be bowl eligible, it feels like the coaching change is coming. Do you expect Clay Helton to lose his job? And if he does, who are the leading candidates to replace him?
There is part of me that still thinks at night, last game of the season, senior pride for USC, all those seniors, coming out and giving Notre Dame a tussle if not having a chance to win. I know they haven't looked good lately. But there is still a lot of talent on that team. Notre Dame has traveled farther this year than U2 in its last world tour. I mean, I think for only the eighth time they played in Chicago, L.A., and New York. So, and they're playing at a high level. I do think Notre Dame will win, but I'm just trying to not discount the fact that, you know, in this rivalry, don't say it's a done deal. Who would replace him? You hear the names. James Franklin, I think Brian Harsin at Boise State and Matt Wells at Utah State should be given a good look. I know USC's going to have to swallow hard if they hire Utah State's coach, but I think these are two up-and-comers that are very good. You know, Jack Del Rio is the old USC guy mentality. I'm not sure if that stirs the blood, but I think there's a chance they may have a shot at James Franklin.
Talking college football with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Dennis, how about Brian Kelly and his future? Notre Dame, you'll recall, was number 12 in the preseason AP poll. If they beat USC, I think unquestionably they're going to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
A few years ago when the Eagles hired Chip Kelly, Brian Kelly got an interview for that job. Do you think Brian Kelly would be interested in the pros after this season is done?
After this season, I can't speak to that. But I don't know. I think his long-term future is in the NFL. There's only one place you go up from Notre Dame, and that's to the NFL. I don't know where his head's at. He would have had to wait, 6 years between postseason championship appearances. And so that's probably what it is at Notre Dame right now. You're probably not going to compete for a playoff spot every year or be in the playoff. They can compete but not be in the playoff. And 6 years seems about right, you know, or does he want to test himself at the next level, which a lot of successful college coaches have? I don't know about this year. I don't know what they have coming back. Seemingly they have a lot. But I think someday Brian Kelly's going to be in the NFL.
Dennis, since we're talking about coaches, how about Les Miles landing in Kansas? How do you see the hat fitting in the Big 12, which other than TCU was all about high-flying offenses?
Yeah, I think it was great. I was at the press conference Sunday night. He's just what they need. I wrote this earlier in the summer. You know, whatever Kansas is going to do, unless they hired a guy like Les Miles, you know, your average 35-year-old Mac wunderkind, that person was going to be gone in 4 years. Either they were going to succeed and move up, or they were going to be fired. There's a light at the end of the tunnel with Les, because without him saying it, it could be a nice, cushy little retirement job. And there's nothing wrong with Les Miles being a bridge coach at Kansas. He's fully committed. And I just come back, it's just very basic reasons he's there. He wants to coach ball. For some reason, college football drew the line at Les Miles, him not having a job for 2 years. He's never had NCAA violations. He's won a national championship, two SEC titles. One of a handful of humans walking the earth who has beaten Nick Saban twice. So he eats grass. So what? It'll be great for Kansas. He'll get them on SportsCenter. He'll recruit. And the ask, Brian, is only 6-6. I think he can get him to 6-6.
Although you were there, he had that brain freeze at the press conference.
Yes.
I didn't think he was ever going to finish that thought. Let's get to Michigan, Ohio State renewing their rivalry on Saturday. Dennis, watching the Buckeyes survive that wild game against Maryland on Saturday, it felt like Urban Meyer went through the full range of emotions, and most of the time he appeared to be in agony. We know he left Florida because of health concerns. Is it fair to wonder about his coaching future now?
Yeah, and the stress level is not going to be turned down against Michigan. So will the ESPN cameras, or who has that team? I forget.
It's on Fox.
It's on Fox. So will the Fox cameras be on him on the sideline like the ABC cameras were last week. I suspect they will, because that's a big side story to this game. I feel like right here, right now, Urban Meyer could win a fourth national championship or retire. I mean, both of those two things could happen in the next few weeks. He's obviously distressed in physical distress. The team has gone downhill in general since the Purdue loss. That was 4 weeks ago. And that Purdue team that beat them by 29 took all the momentum from that game and went 1-3 and are struggling to get to a bowl. So it isn't like they bounced up with that. Ohio State has one thing going for it that they can count on. I'm not saying they don't do anything else well, but one thing they can count on going into Michigan, that's Dwayne Haskins. He's a gunslinger. That's how they won at Maryland. And you can hit me with J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins ain't running for 160 yards against Michigan on Saturday. So it's Dwayne Haskins against the world. We'll see how Urban reacts, and there'll be a story to come out about him after that game.
Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com, is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Iron Bowl on CBS on Saturday. Auburn trying to upset Alabama. Dennis, even though somehow last week the game between Bama and the Citadel was tied at 10 at halftime, and we know what Alabama did in the second half, are we looking at a historically great Alabama team, one we're going to be talking about 25 years from now?
Yeah, I think we still are. It's the best offensive team he's had, Nick Saban's had, at Alabama. And if they go ahead and seal the deal and win another championship, then we're talking about one of the great Alabama teams of all time, because Nick has added to his legend, I think, in just going whole hog and embracing the spread and these RPO concepts, because he knew he had a Tua coming. It's one thing, Brian, to listen to Lane Kiffin and 4 years ago switch to the spread. That was enough of a big move. But he had enough forethought, and he saw what college football was moving to go into this very diverse, very complicated offense with a once-in-a-generation talent like Tua to run it, to switch to this. They are a pass-first team. They're like an old WAC team. They run the ball well, but they pass to set up the run, not the other way around. And the defense is rounding into shape. You saw their back-to-back shutouts. First time since 1980 they've done that in the SEC. So they're going to be tough to beat, and I'm already writing for tomorrow that, look, Notre Dame and Alabama could effectively clinch playoff spots this weekend. Notre Dame by going undefeated, Alabama by beating Auburn, and then setting up, you know, does it matter if they lose to Georgia? You know, what happens in the does the committee, after this team has been called a generational team all season, number one, coast to coast, back to back, every week, you drop them out of the top four? I don't think you do. I think they beat Auburn. I think they're in.
And you got me where I wanted to go to wrap up the conversation, because the committee told us last year, I think, what they're going to do this year. If we're looking at a one-loss Alabama with a loss coming to Georgia in the SEC title game, I don't even care what the score would be. Well, last year, Alabama didn't even make it to the SEC championship game. This year's team is perceived to be better. Alabama made it to the playoff, and then that decision was validated by winning it all. So, Dennis, if we're looking at that thermonuclear scenario with Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, and undefeated Clemson going, meaning three Power 5 champions are left out, do you think that would be the catalyst needed to expand the playoff?
I talked to someone close to the process today, not a CFP person or an AD, but someone who deals in that area. He thought it would have to happen in multiple years like that for the discussion to start. I mean, think about what you just said. That means the Big Ten would be left out in consecutive years. Jim Delaney wouldn't take kindly to that. And remember how this whole thing started when Auburn in 2003, I think it was an undefeated SEC champion and didn't play for the national championship. That got Mike Clive on the playoff track and started the conversation there. So it would have to be something like that. If that happens this year, that singular occurrence won't spur it. But it opens everybody's eyes and they thought, oh boy, this is possible in any given year. Notre Dame moving up and taking a spot, what does that look like? Especially when Notre Dame doesn't play for a championship. And I know Alabama made it last year without even winning their division, but they were at least competing for a championship. Notre Dame goes out and makes its schedule and doesn't do that. So that point, and the fact that the Big Ten would be left out again could cause some consternation.
Dennis, great information as always. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us again today. Hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Brian, thank you so much. You too.
Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, setting the table metaphorically nicely for the final hour of the program, 2:20 Eastern time. We'll go through the most likely scenarios getting closer to the college football playoff with the rivalry games this week and then the conference championship games. And many of those matchups are going to be terrible coming up next Saturday. But because Dennis mentioned what Les Miles was trying to do at his press conference, and Dennis was there. Dennis should have helped him out. I know Jim did this yesterday, but we play the hits. This was reminiscent of my first, 10 years in broadcasting, where you go for a thought, and it's just not there.
The style of football that we'll play, the community recognition of our players will grow. The opportunity to get out and do community enhancement and be involved with many.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on this Thanksgiving Eve. Thank you for sharing part of the long holiday weekend with us. And I know a lot of you, the wise people, have already left the office or you didn't even go in today, hopefully. Thank you for giving us a couple minutes. 1-800-636-8686. Emails are always your best bet because you can formulate your thought. How much you truly resent me being on the radio at Rome at haveatake.com. Twitter's also a good way to be a part of the program. It's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Looking ahead to the final hour of the program. Roughly an hour from now, we'll take you around the National Football League with Will Brinson, senior football writer for CBSSports.com, meaning if you want to call, you can do it now, you can do it early in the final hour, but because the last programming block will be a conversation, that's it. Limited opportunities to be a part of the show as we move forward. With a reminder, food, family, and fantastic football. It's a legendary rivalry between the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. Tradition continues tomorrow, Thanksgiving, with coverage starting at noon Eastern. The first of three games. Second game, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Washington Redskins, led by Colt McCoy. If you're a Cowboy fan, I'll tell you why. To start the last hour of the program, you should be rooting for a loss. I know it's counterintuitive. We'll spell it out coming up in less than 15 minutes. I rarely talk NBA this early on the calendar, and I know it's late in the year, but to me, if I'm going to focus on broadcasting, getting a big audience, and I understand LeBron is the king beyond just the description, a lot of you listening pay no attention to the NBA until Christmas Day. Another big chunk of you parachute in after the Super Bowl, All-Star Weekend. Maybe you want to watch All-Star Saturday Night with the slam dunk competition if you still care about it. And then there's another big portion of you who pay no attention to the 82-game regular season. And then you watch the postseason, which is all you need typically to know what's happened in the NBA. But I love basketball as much as I love football. And I'll be watching tonight, not only because it's my job after all, but I just want to get a sense of what the scene is like when LeBron goes back to Cleveland for the first time as a Laker. We saw what he did the last time he was on the floor. Dropped 51 on the Heat, another former team, but it wasn't a spiteful 51. It wasn't a let-me-make-a-statement 51. He was messing around, having a good time. In fact, he said post-game, when he jacked up the three in the closing seconds, he did it because he was dared by Lance Stephenson. And that's who the Lakers are right now. They are a reality show, and it's actually a good reality show. I'm not going to do my Mount Rushmore of reality shows, although Vanderpump Rules is getting ready for another glittering season. But the Lakers, and namely LeBron James, realize that it doesn't matter what they do in November, December, January, not one, not two, not three, not four. It's all about when we get to late April, early May. So at this point, enjoy the ride, because LeBron not only took his talents to L.A. to wear the purple and gold, he did this as a business decision. And that's why I think Cleveland fans, if they're rational, the vast majority of them tonight, will appreciate what LeBron decided to do and acknowledge what he did in Ohio, because he came home and did the unthinkable. Not only did they knock off the mighty Warriors, they got some help from Draymond Green losing his mind, being suspended. And remember, as Kyrie went off in Game 7, but they won Cleveland's first championship in team sports of any kind going back to 1964. So, yes, I'm sure there will be a few knuckleheads who either refuse to get on their feet or boo him. That's a reflection of the time in which we live. But I think tonight will feel like a coronation, and it should. Because what more, if you're a Cavalier fan, other than wanting him to stay, did you want to see LeBron achieve, in addition to all the great things he did off the floor, like the school that he's endowing, and he's been heavily involved in the community in his home area of Northeast Ohio for years. So I don't think there's much of a story tonight. It'll be the lead item on all the talking head shows. Sound up LeBron getting the cheer he deserves. I think the more interesting aspect of this conversation is, what does the future of the Lakers look like? Because if this is a reality show, what's the payoff? Because right now we have a cast that is Kardashian-esque, with Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, although he's hurt, JaVale McGee. At this point, why not pick up J.R. Smith? He's available, and sure, he cost LeBron at least game one in the NBA Finals last year because he didn't know the score, but that's just JR being JR, and the Cavs weren't going to beat the Warriors either way. And because we know this to be true, whatever the org chart looks like for the Lakers, yeah, Rob Pelinka is the GM and Magic Johnson is running the basketball operations. We know who's calling the shots. It's LeBron. He engineered the move that allowed the Lakers to pick up Tyson Chandler from Phoenix, because he called his buddy James Jones and said, you owe me one, wave Tyson. And Tyson's actually given this team valuable minutes in the paint if you care about regular season basketball in the month of November. It's all about where this team is going and what the path to the postseason is going to be like, because we've already had some early episodes in the soap opera. Last time I was here, we were talking about Magic Johnson airing out Luke Walton, interrupting. Irvin Johnson is a no-no in that organization. Well, it feels like we haven't had much fodder in recent weeks. So LeBron, as a good producer, will stir up something, because like many of you, it feels like LeBron approaches the regular season as just getting through it, primarily to stay healthy. And from time to time, it feels like he just gets bored. How else can you describe what he has done in the past, coming up with conflict for its own sake, if you believe, in fact, that he is a content creator? Well, it seems like he likes creative disruption. That's why the relationship with Kevin Love was fractured at times, because LeBron feeds off the chaos. So it's a little bit of a fallow period right now for the Lakers. Going to be a great scene tonight in Cleveland. And then just bide your time. Be patient. There'll be more drama for you to enjoy, because LeBron is an outstanding producer, and he knows you got to feed the beast. And there's plenty of time to talk about where we should slot the Lakers when we get to the postseason. And, of course, we're not even talking about that. It's all about next year. Who's going to join the ensemble? Will there be a spinoff? Will Jax be available? Is he going back to that farm show in Kentucky? But you know what we're already talking about in the NBA. Is it Kevin Durant? Is it Anthony Davis? Is it both of them? Because LeBron is a master at captivating your attention. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports Network. You can slide in. I'll take more of your phone calls. Final hour at 1-800-636-8686. Because I'm going to make the move from the factory of sadness that is Cleveland basketball to another bleak situation in football, with Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow. Give thanks you are not a fan of the Lions. Now, the game is still worth watching because of the playoff implications, and because it's on CBS, you'll get the number one team of Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, who is a rock star in our business. And remember, Romo got the assignment of being part of the A-team for the NFL and CBS with no broadcasting experience. He's just gifted. He connects with all of us, and he demonstrates every Sunday it's not easy based on what we endure on Monday Night Football. Because Romo was so good, it felt like the four-letter network said, what other cowboy can we hire? Who's retiring? Well, compare what you hear on Monday nights to what you hear on Sundays and tomorrow on CBS. Romo is the best. So the broadcast is worth watching. The Lions typically are not. And when we think about inept franchises in all of sports, but I'll limit it just to football now, we crush the Browns because they are the Browns, and we revel in the fact they went 0-16. Well, do we forget who the first team was to run the table in reverse? It was a huge topic here in the jungle years ago. That was the Lions, coached by Rod Marinelli. We take shots at the Bills, who at least had the common sense to part ways with Nathan Peterman. Well, who was the only NFL team that said, Nathan Peterman, come on in for a tryout? The Lions, of course. The Bills didn't make the playoffs dating back to 1999 before they broke through last year. Okay. Well, if you want to focus on mediocrity, how about these numbers? Lions haven't won the division since 1993. Haven't won a playoff game since 1991. Haven't won a championship since 1957. We crushed the Bills for losing four consecutive Super Bowls. At least they got there four straight times. Lions have never even played in the Super Bowl. And that is almost impossible to do when the entire business model of the NFL is parity. Somebody goes from worst to first every year, 14 of the last 15 seasons. Texans are going to do it this year. After their 0-3 start, they're going to win the AFC South. So something is fundamentally broken in Detroit. This team has been an embarrassment for decades. And Jim Caldwell probably never should have been fired last year. Won 9 games. You make the coaching change. How's that working out? Because Matt Patricia seems more concerned about wearing shorts outdoors in the snow to be a fake tough guy and lecturing the media on posture rather than coaching this team up.
Why do you think this makes your franchise better?
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
Why do you feel like this makes your franchise better?
All right. Well, I think, you know, what's important for us is when we evaluate, you know.
Says the man who has not taken 10 minutes to trim that beard in what, 20 years? So, Lion fans, I have empathy for you, but here is the good news. It's the NFL. You're not dead yet. You got a gift last week from Riverboat Ron, who made a colossal blunder going for two. Don't tell me that's what you do on the road. I don't care if Graham Gano missed two kicks, and I don't even care that Cam Newton missed a wide-open receiver. It was the wrong decision, and the Lions could get lucky again tomorrow. Could be Chase Daniel instead of Mitchell Trubisky. But because it's Detroit, somehow, some way, they'll find a way to screw it up. Final hour coming up. Much more NFL conversation on the way, plus more of your phone calls. Brian Weber getting you set for Thanksgiving. In for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.